Please stand and speak together in the opening prayer.
I am Jesus, the little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my need and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Day by day and home away, Jesus is my staff and stay. When I hunger, Jesus feeds me, into pleasant pastures leads me. When I thirst, he bids me go, where the quiet waters flow. Who so happy as I am, even now the shepherd's lamb. And when my short life is ended, by his angel host attended, he shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and barely deserve your punishment, although now internally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, in your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I divert you of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise.
In the Lord, whose word I praise.
In God I trust, I shall not be afraid.
What can man do to me?
I must perform my vows to you, O God.
I will render thank offerings to you.
For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling.
That I may walk before God in the light of life.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now,
and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sin of the world. Receive our prayer. You sit at the right hand of God the Father. Have mercy on us. For you only are holy. You only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray. and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the fourth chapter. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let all who take refuge in you rejoice.
Let them ever sing for joy.
Give ear to my words, O Lord.
Consider my groaning.
Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God.
For to you do I pray.
O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice.
In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch.
For you are not a God who delights in wickedness.
Evil may not dwell within you.
The boastful shall not stand before your eyes.
You hate all evildoers.
You destroy those who speak lies.
The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man.
But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house.
I will bow down before your holy temple in fear of you.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies.
Make your way straight before me.
For there is no truth in their mouth, their inmost self is destruction.
Their throat is an open grave, they flatter with their tongue.
Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels.
Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you.
But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy,
and spread your protection over them
that those who love your name may exalt in you.
For you bless the righteous, O Lord.
You cover him with favor as with a shield.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let all who take refuge in you rejoice.
Let them ever sing with joy.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
I will pray the odd-numbered stanzas. Join me on the even-numbered stanzas. When, in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid, when days and nights of anxious thought no help or counsel yet have brought,
then is our comfort this alone, that we may meet before your throne. To you, O faithful God, we cry, for rescue in our misery.
For you have promised, Lord, to heed your children's cries in time of need, through him whose name alone is great, our Savior and our Advocate.
And so we come, O God, today, and all our woes before you lay, for sorely tried, cast down we stand, perplexed by fears on every hand.
Oh, from our sins, Lord, turn your face. Absolve us through your boundless grace. Be with us in our anguish still. Free us at last from every ill.
So we, with all our hearts each day, to you our glad thanksgiving pay. Then walk obedient to your word, and now and ever praise you, Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the parable we just heard of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You may be seated. You may have noted that St. Luke prefaces this parable with a little description of the people to whom Jesus is directing it. This parable, Luke tells us, Jesus told for all who are self-righteous and for all who look down and despise on others. Or as it said in the text, it was for some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Those of you who've been around for a while and know the scriptures know exactly who Jesus had in mind with that parable. He was talking about those stuck-up Pharisees with their long robes and their showy prayers, those pompous Pharisees with their rule lists and their trick questions, those arrogant Pharisees who love to toot their own horn and judge others harshly. Pharisees are the worst, aren't they? And we're so glad that we're not like them. Now that we've gotten the Pharisees out of the way, we can get back to identifying with our favorite underdog, the tax collector. You know, it's a little bit like David and Goliath. He's the little guy. He's the one who gets picked on. He's the one we cheer for. We want to be like him. We want him to get the best of that Pharisee. Of course, we also know how this parable ends. We know that the Pharisee and his attitude are nothing that we want to be part of our life. We want to go home justified with the tax collector. But give me just a minute or two to speak up for the Pharisee. He's really not such a bad guy, at least not as bad as some make him out to be. When he goes up to the temple and looks around at everyone else there, he's kind of got a point. Does anyone, do any of you really want to defend the other men, the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or even that lowly tax collector? We may think that a tax collector is sort of innocuous, but he belongs with the others on this list, those who lie, cheat, and steal. He's good at manipulation, good at extortion and robbery, things that God condemns. You know, those other guys that the Pharisee talks about, those are guys that you would never let house sit for you. You would never let them date your daughter, and you certainly wouldn't ask them to be godparents for your child or grandchild. But that Pharisee, now he's something.
He'd make a good neighbor, a solid son-in-law, a decent godparent, even if he is a little self-righteous. Why, he fasts twice a week. He gives a tenth of everything that he gets, of every paycheck, every bonus, every reward. And those are good things, aren't they? Those are things that God commands. Not only in the Old Testament, but even in the New, Jesus said, when you fast and when you give, assuming that we would fast and give. So the Pharisee really looks like a great guy, and not so good for the tax collector. The problem is the Pharisee knows that he is a great guy, and that's what gets him. He knows his virtue and his goodness. He not only knows it, but he talks about it, and he not only talks about it, but he even boasts about it, and he boasts about it before God, about his fasting and his tithing. Which is to say, for all of his outward righteousness, the Pharisee is trusting in his own goodness, in his own piety, and in his own personal religious devotion. He trusts in the fact that when God goes to set the curve, he's going to be at the top of it. He declares himself worthy before God because of his love and good works, certainly more love and good works than the tax collector has. And the Pharisee views grace not as God's gift, but rather grace as something that God owes him. Did you notice how he prays? The prayer that seems to be directed to himself. He mentions God once, seems like sort of a perfunctory thing. God is just there to hear the Pharisee praise himself. I thank you. I am not. I fast. I give of all that I get. It's a prayer all about himself. Anyone who prays like this, anyone who prays as if they are worthy and righteous before God, is praying like the Pharisee, making an idol out of himself and his own works. The last thing that Pharisee thinks he needs is God's mercy. The last thing that he thinks he needs is the blood of Christ. What disrespect. But who hasn't been just like that Pharisee? Why, when I started the sermon, I began by comparing ourselves to the Pharisee and thinking about how much better we are than him. That is our natural reaction. How often have we looked at others with smugness and thought that we're so much better than them, so much better than him or her? We're good at boasting about ourselves, and we're especially good, experts at pointing out the sins and the failings of others. Every time we slander, every time we gossip, every time we speak about someone else behind their back, isn't that exactly what we're doing? Rarely do we gossip and slander about someone's good points, only about their negative ones. And even if what we say is true, the problem is that the point is often simply to build ourselves up and make ourselves look better while tearing others down. We can apply this a little bit to our callings in life. Husband, have you praised yourself while treating your wife with contempt? Wives, have you done the reverse? Brothers and sisters, have you made a show of your own goodness while pointing out the faults of your siblings? Often we hold out the very best of ourselves while looking at the worst of others. Too often what the Proverbs say is true of us. We think that we are clean in our own eyes, that we are right in our own eyes for what we have said or done or thought, but we aren't washed of our filth. You think that you are good, not realizing, as it says in Revelation, that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. The Pharisee isn't the only master of self-righteousness. He isn't the only one to hold others in contempt. How often have I stood in the high place and put myself forward with chest puffed out and head held high, daring even to look God in the eye, because I think so highly of myself? If you keep track of your virtues and keep a catalog of others' faults, then you also sit in the seat of the Pharisee. So what's the solution to this? Well, when I say that, It probably inclines us to hang our heads a little lower and not puff our chests out so much. When I show the arrogance and the pride that we all have by nature, it takes us down a notch. In fact, we find that the only thing we can do is step back from being up front, from taking the lead, from judging others, step back out of the shoes of the Pharisee and step right into the shoes of the tax collector. All we can do is say, Lord, have mercy on me. Christ, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I am no better than the Pharisee, and I am no better than the tax collector. Our sins might be different than theirs, but that doesn't make us righteous before God. Would we, like the Pharisee, try to enter heaven by shoving our neighbor and putting him down? Will God regard that with favor? And so we come to imitate the tax collector. Not to imitate his sins, but rather his prayer. Such a simple and beautiful prayer that you can memorize it, you can take it with you, you can pray it each day. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice that he starts with God, rather than with himself. The prayer is addressed to God. God is the subject of the prayer. The tax collector, you and I, we are simply objects. Whatever comes is dependent on God, dependent on his favor, on his will, on his action. As for me, I am a poor, pitiful sinner. I'm on the receiving end of whatever he does. If God wishes to give judgment, that's what I'll receive. And if God chooses to be merciful and gracious, then that's what I'll receive. It all depends on him. And not on me. But take heart, for God does promise mercy and grace. He says in the book of Ezekiel, if the wicked turns from his sin, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Because Christ came for sinners, for robbers, the unjust, adulterers, tax collectors, and even stuck-up Pharisees. And so the tax collector stands there, knowing his need, recognizing that he depends on God, and apart from God's mercy, he will be lost and condemned forever. He strikes his chest. He stands back. He keeps his eyes down. And he prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do not remember our former iniquities. For your name's sake, pardon my guilt, O Lord, for it is great. Atone for our sins. For your name's sake. He does not appeal to his righteousness. He does not appeal to how well he's kept God's commandments. He appeals to God's mercy, to his grace. Grace alone can save a tax collector like that. And he trusts in the great high priest, Jesus Christ, the one who intercedes for him by his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. He appeals to the grace of God, the favor that God shows to us because of what Christ did there. He appeals to the blood of the Savior. God indeed is gracious and merciful, and in his mercy he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. And Jesus makes a beautiful statement about this tax collector. This man, Jesus said, went down to his house justified. Forgiven. Not the Pharisee. Despite his obvious sinfulness, his life that has not measured up to what it should be, that tax collector is declared fully and completely righteous because of the blood of Christ. He went home justified. He enjoyed that gift of the righteousness of God given by grace during his life. And then, because Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, and in his Father's house are many rooms, we could say that this tax collector one day would go all the way home, justified, forgiven by grace, and he would enjoy the fullness of that gift in the next life. What do we have to boast about? If someone had wanted to boast, Jesus could have. If someone wanted to point out the failings of others, Jesus could have. He, of all people, could have praised his own righteousness and he could have thrown the first stone at others, at tax collectors and adulterers, but he didn't. Rather than exalting himself, Jesus chose to humble himself, even to the point of death, even death upon a cross, that God might exalt him at the proper time. So instead of parading his righteousness before others, instead of standing in front of us, boasting about his goodness and pointing out our failings, our Lord took our sins upon his own shoulders, and he bore them to the cross. He boasted not of his righteousness and our failures, but rather of his mercy and our salvation. And God delivered him on the third day. He was highly exalted, given the name that is above all names. God did deliver his Son, not from suffering, not from the cross, not even from dying, but from death and the grave. On the third day, he was exalted. Jesus rose from the dead. So if we boast, let us boast in the Lord. If we boast, let us boast in the cross of Christ. If we boast, let us boast in the mercy and grace of our God, and not in our own works. Let us boast in the riches we have at Christ's expense. And let us give thanks to God, not like the Pharisee, who thanked God that he was so much better than everyone else, but rather let us join our Lord himself in thanking the Father. For that's what Jesus did on the night when he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Let us join in that thanksgiving. Let us lift up and take the cup of salvation. Let us give thanks to our God for his mercy and his grace for us sinners. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me out of your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a free spirit. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty God, we come to you, invited by your Son. May we, like little children, receive your gifts. Do not allow our sinful flesh, the world, or the devil to keep us from turning to you in repentance. Grant us humility to pray, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be merciful to your church here and in every place. Defend our pastors from arrogance and pride. Strengthen them in the faithful preaching of your word, that both your holy law and your precious gospel would be proclaimed, and your children be united in saving faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As your Son welcomed infants, give us a deep care for the children entrusted to us, that we would defend their lives even before birth. Watch over all mothers with child, especially Laura and Kay. Protect all who are scared and all little ones in danger of abortion. Thank you for your care of Joelle and Taylor during pregnancy and delivery, and grant your continued grace and help to them. Give to all parents a desire and commitment to bring their children to Jesus, even as Andrew and Allie brought Raylan this morning. Bless the teaching of your word in our homes, in the Sunday school classes and catechesis of our congregation, and in the Christian schools and homeschools our children attend. Preserve our children in the faith. Teach each of us in humility to receive the kingdom of God like a child. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you do not delight in wickedness, or let those who boast stand before you. Give the leaders of the nations wisdom to govern in keeping with your will. Remind them of the stewardship that they hold on behalf of others, so that they may fulfill their duties with diligence and humility. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of mercy, we praise you that you deliver our souls from death and our feet from falling. Care for those near death, preserve them from despair, and give them a confident hope in the resurrection promised by our risen Lord. Come to the aid of everyone in need, including the family and friends of Cliff, as well as Phil, Al, Tracy and her family, Diane, Alyssa and Amara, Marilyn, Catherine, Anne, Wayne, Heather, Jim, John, Kay, John, Bobby Joe, Jason, Jackie, Al and Bernie, and Joe and Gail. Thank you for hearing our prayers on behalf of Rosemarie, and now we pray sustain her faith and renew her strength. And thank you for your care of baby Hattie in her time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who come to the holy altar this day would receive the very body and blood of Jesus in repentance and faith to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, if we trust in our own righteousness, we are lost and dead in our sins. But you mercifully draw us to yourself in repentance and hear the cries of those who trust in your Son. Grant us humility, rescue us from every evil, and bring us into your kingdom as your beloved children. To you alone be all glory, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
O Christ,
the body of Christ given for you.
You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God,
the blood of Christ
shed for
you.
Take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. We stand for the new Nuncimitus. Now, Lord, you dismiss your servant in peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen the salvation you prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
In his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We speak together the last two hymn stanzas.
The Lord, my God, be praised, my trust, my life from heaven, the Father's own dear Son, whose life for me was given, who for my sin atoned, with his precious blood, and gives to me by faith alone the high.